again. This is the old Good Morning Man Kermit Edney with program 111 in a series of 260 programs dealing with the happenings and the people who made things happen here over the past 50 years, the WHKP years since 1946. It follows the format of the great Frank L. Fitzsimmons series, so we simply call it where Fitz left off. The lazy, hazy days of summer takes us back to the Weeping Willow Swimming Pool and the Laurel Park Beach. Today we don't have a Laurel Park Lake and Beach, but we do have several fantastic swimming pools. Not the Weeping Willow, but we have an indoor pool even at the Y, and a number of families in this day and age have their own private pool. Back in the 40s and 50s, there was the swimming pool for the city called the Weeping Willow. It was located on the corner of 3rd Avenue and Washington Street. The American Legion parking lot covers that corner today. On hot summer afternoons, there'd be so many kids at the old Weeping Willow swimming pool, as the old saying goes, you couldn't stir them with a stick. About once a month, they'd change the water, and they'd do so by just unplugging the drain and let all the water in the pool flow out onto the street and run down the storm drains. I don't believe you could do that today. The Weeping Willow pool was just one of the many, many food, fun, and entertainment enterprises owned by the Livingston family. Now, if you had a bicycle, you could pedal out 5th Avenue and up Laurel Park Highway to the Laurel Park Lake and Bathing Beach. The dance pavilion had long since disappeared, but the Prescott family, which owned it, saw that the tall diving tower and a couple of low platforms were always well maintained. There was a concession stand and room enough for older ones to dance. There were colorful beach umbrellas, and the sand on the beach was raked smooth every morning. Jody Barber has pictures in the Baker Barber collection showing cars parked all along the road overlooking the beach where hundreds and hundreds of bathers could be seen cavorting in the bright mountain sunshine. My Granny Waters, the widow of the Reverend T.J. Waters, ran a boarding house at 319 North Washington Street, directly across the street from the old Weeping Willow pool. You did call them boarding houses back then. They were not bed and breakfasts. And the boarding houses were all the same. They were great big rambling buildings, most of them originally built as small summer hotels. They were operated by folks like my grandmother and Mrs. Rose Jackson, the widow of Thomas A. Jackson. In fact, the Jackson House on King Street was so successful, Mrs. Jackson bought the house next door and called it the Jackson House Annex. One of her sons, Leon, worked with her throughout all the years she was open. And another son, the late Rupert Jackson, ran Jackson's Flower Shop. In all these boarding houses, there were year-round boarders. But always, the operators did reserve some rooms for summer tourists, because the tourists were willing to pay a much higher rate, and with this added cash in the summer months, the owners could make it for the whole year. Back then, these boarding houses did not promote, as do the modern-day bed and breakfast. They didn't promote historic sites or antiquities. It was just clean, comfortable rooms, and tasty and generous servings of food at reasonable prices. And there were also simple rooming houses. Loads of them, they rented rooms, but you had to get your meals elsewhere. Just to mention a few, Rosemary Inn, operated by Mrs. Sarah Morris on 6th Avenue. The Angeline on 3rd, operated by Mrs. Minnie Covington. The Leverett House on King, operated by Mrs. Bradburn. There was the Church Street Guest House, Hunthurst, run by the Bonners on South Main. And the Bonner Tourist Home on North Main. The Felder House on 6th, Old English Inn, North Main. There was Rosedale Inn, 5th Avenue West, the Waverly in the 40s, owned by Mrs. Helen Harrison and would later be operated by Ed and Dart McCurry, and now a leading bed and breakfast. Granny Waters' old boarding house was sold to Mrs. Florence Jordan, and she named it the Washington. Some of Granny Waters' full-time boarders was a Luther Hodges, who read meters for Duke Power Company and would always use the expression, "If steamboats were a penny, I couldn't buy the echo of a whistle." Regulars also included a Mr. Agnew, who was a traveling peddler of cleaning supplies, a Mr. Cooper, who manifested all the symptoms back then, which I would take today as perhaps being on drugs. Granny had two standalone cabins in the backyard. These were always reserved year-round for the Jimmy Livingston Orchestra. Throughout the year, as they'd complete one leg of a tour, they'd end up at Granny's for a week's rest and relaxation before hitting the college and one-night stand circuit again. Tomorrow more on the Livingston family from the seventh child of a seventh child. Lucky enough to have been born here, the good sense never to leave him with a job he's loved all of his life. Sursum corda as we approach the next 50 years.